Awesome. So we have Roshni Sharma Fleming here today. So Roshni, I want you to just jump right in and tell us who you are, what you do, and who you serve.
So thanks, Gerald, for having me. I'm always grateful for our connection, and I'm really happy that you found me on this journey and I found you. So thanks for having me here. My name is Roshni Sharma Fleming. I'm the CEO and founder of Still Fire Healing Inc. here in Toronto. And what we do is we serve women using heart-centered and empowering guidance using holistic knowledge. I find that the gap between when a woman feels or falls ill and the end, which is the hospital, there's a lot of gray area in there in which women feel lost. And so I'm there to shed light on that area, to bring knowledge, to teach women that there is a better way to look after yourself. And that is something that is so underrated for women that, and again, I think we're changing that narrative very slowly and steadily. If it's not selfish, if you look after yourself, it's just not. You have to do that for yourself so that you can serve others. And I serve women 35 plus, women who are not necessarily mothers, but women who just need an extra support on their journey to optimal well-being. And I love doing it through energy work. I love doing it through essential oils. I love teaching. I love just sharing that they are not alone and finding that common ground for women to discuss what's going on without judgment, without any pain. And if there is pain, we share it and divide it together.
Yes, and I think that we are prioritizing that now more so than we used to, because I think at a certain age, you get to a point where you understand that you're being burnt out, you're dealing with overwhelm, and it's affecting you physically, emotionally, and mentally, and all the things. So I am happy to see more women taking more control of their health in that way, because we need people like you to help us get through this,
Yes.
right?
Yes, I love that. Yes.
Now, in your experience, what is the most underestimated aspect of a woman's healing journey?
This, I love that question. I was like, yes, this is great. I think the most underrated aspect is that women don't believe they have choices. And I think choice is very powerful because if you can see that some of the choices you make are actually quite simple and sustainable, it begins to shift the narrative of who you're looking after, what you're looking after, and the time you spend on it. And I find that it naturally lends itself to boundaries as well, so that if you are not feeling safe in a particular situation, you can choose not to be there. You can choose your thoughts. You can choose your boundary and say, you know what? This is not serving me. And this is a natural byproduct of women looking after themselves. A lot of us have been taught that we don't have choices, that this is the way. And it's not always necessarily our fault. I think over time, women have been, the narrative has been, you know, it's this way, it's ego-based, it's patriarchal. But really, if a woman is given a choice, how powerful is that? And especially when it comes to her health. And saying no is, you know, I've always said it's a complete sentence, right? And I hear that all the time. And through my work as well, and for my connections with other women, that it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, you know what? I am not going to take that route. I'm going to do this. And I meet more and more women who are doing this. And this is because we know that our bodies are essentially the most beautiful thing that creates, that builds queendoms, excuse me. And we want to make sure that we have to look after ourselves on that journey.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned boundaries because I feel like boundaries keep us within our limits. It doesn't limit us, but it keeps us within our own limits as far as our energy, like where we're placing that. And so we're not misplacing it in areas where we don't need to and things like that. Because I think a lot of times we want to go the extra mile because we feel like we have to. We want to go above and beyond because we feel like we have to, like it's a demand and it's really not. Like we can actually set these boundaries that keep us safe health-wise and well, you know, just for our well-being. So I love how you mentioned that. And I love that you are guiding women in this way. So yay, Rashni. Right, because we need this. We really do. I mean, like as a woman in my 40s, I can honestly say I can't do things like I did in my 20s and my 30s when I was up and doing 12 hours and 16-hour work shifts and things like that. I can't do that anymore.
Amen.
Like I have to
I
set
know.
limits. Yeah, I have to set limits. So I'm glad you're here to remind us about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Limits is good. Like you can, and I like
Yeah.
that. And I like that you say even that I can't, I'm actually physically not able to do that anymore because that is the first choice towards your authentic self, and that you're not forcing all the time. You are flowing and resting, flowing
Yes.
and resting. And women need to learn this, flowing and resting. And then I think the modeling around it is changing as well. And being from first generation families, immigrant families, we may not have always had that modeling for rest, that it's okay to work and rest. Some of us didn't have that. Some of us did not learn how boundaries can help sustain our mind, body, and spirit. So it's really, really important that women start to and continue to, especially if they've already started, continue to sustain these practices because it's very important for the longevity of our mental health as well.
I love how you mentioned that because a lot of this is ancestral. Like we see how our parents worked, we see how our grandparents worked, and we feel like we need to do the same thing. We need to grind and hustle and all this stuff. But some of us are not even wired to do that. Like if you look at human design, which I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole different topic, but we're not designed to do that, a lot of us, you know. So we have to really look at how we're wired, I think, and respect that and honor that, honor our energy.
Yes,
Yeah.
I love that. I
Yes, we
love
have to
that.
honor ourselves. Wow, I love that. So, how can women begin to rebuild trust with themselves after experiencing deep emotional or physical trauma in your experience?
The trust, and I've gone through this through a very serious illness during COVID when I was navigating a broken healthcare system. And even though I received good care, there is trauma involved in there because you're like, what am I doing? What is this all about? I had family support, by the way. That was nothing to do with that. But the trust, I was forced to trust myself because I needed to make choices in order to get better. And I was, how do you do that? You make a choice to slow down. You make a choice to be where you are in that moment. And sometimes what I went through is like this little switch went off. To say, you know what? You're more than this. You don't need to be a victim of the circumstance. And as soon as I realized that, and I slowed down to be with who and what I was at that time, I learned that listening to my feelings, especially curating the feelings in the gut, right? I'm a Virgo, so we do a lot of stuff in the gut. So sometimes not always good stuff, but it's all good at the end of the day. So listening to the gut, what is your body telling you? Talking to your body. I'm a big proponent of that. Talk to your body. How is it feeling? Tapping. So bringing back energy into your body. And once you build that awareness around you, you begin to trust your body's signals, right?
Yeah.
And you begin to see that you feel better. But then also, if you're put in an environment that's compromising your energy, you trust that, you know what, this is not for me. And it's okay to step back and just rest and try and find something else. So how you do that, it's through energy work. How do you do that? Spend time on your own, not isolating yourself, but solitude, right? Mm-hmm. And I like going back to what you said. It's like, I just can't do it anymore. I don't know how to do all of the things that society has told me to do. And giving yourself permission. That's a big thing for me, which is something I only learned when I was a 50 something.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm learning these things I'm only learning these later on because you go through these multiple traumas and experiences, and they are there to teach you. They're not there to destroy you. You and I are still sitting here doing our thing. So we're here, and we're here to understand that the wisdom that's built through all of these experiences is learning not only for your soul, but it also helps your well-being.
It absolutely does. And I think, you know, as women, we're emotional beings, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when we make mistakes, we internalize those mistakes. And I feel like what you're saying is absolutely spot on, how reconnection is the key to actually getting through and getting to the other side of that. Because I think sometimes we put ourselves in a fire because we have these corrupted scenarios that we replay in our minds over and over because we made a mistake. And so we're holding on to that. And then next thing you know, we have these feelings and emotions going on, and then they're trapped in our bodies, and that causes us extra pain on top of, you know, and it's just like a cycle that keeps going on. So if we don't reconnect and get realigned, then that can be detrimental going forward. So I love how you're telling us all of this stuff and giving us these reminders to actually be in ourselves, give ourselves permission, and really give ourselves permission to let go and release the things that we don't need to hang on to.
Love it. I love that. You have to. You can't, you know, people recycle stories. People will do that, but that's, you're also learning how not to be. And during the times when we recycle those stories, no matter whatever the stories are the fabric of what makes us who we are at this moment, right? And so people say, oh, forget the past. Sometimes I don't always agree with that, because the past is providing that fabric for you to learn, to grow, to evolve. And being a victim of the past is dangerous, though. I do feel that you have to detach yourself from the emotion and say, okay, what am I supposed to be learning here? And I'm telling you, it's just wisdom over time and going through my own stories that you realize that you don't have to be a victim, that you can choose your thoughts to be optimal, to be beautiful, and you can just plant those beautiful seeds in your mind. You don't have to be programmed the way that society wants you to be programmed. And there's freedom there.
Exactly. I think at this stage in our lives, we are reprogramming ourselves, because, you know, you learn stuff when you're a kid, and then you take those things, and then you become an adult, and it's like we have to relearn everything and unlearn what we learned, you know, from before. And so it's kind of like we're reprogramming ourselves so that we can be better humans and better women for ourselves and for our families. So
absolutely.
I love that. So how do you personally define resilience, and how has that definition evolved through your own healing?
So resilience to me, very simply, is choices.
Mm-hmm.
I always go back to choices. You choose to give yourself permission. You choose to have beautiful thoughts. You choose to face what you need to face, and then choose your next steps. And I think that's where women's empowerment becomes very powerful because choice is a huge component about everything that we do for our kids, for ourselves, for our families, for our careers. It's all about choice. And so I define resilience very simply as choosing to take your story with you or not with you. And if you're taking it with you, you choose to detach yourself from the pain that perhaps the trauma, the micro traumas, big traumas, and you choose to accept who you are. So after going through all of those choices, accept where you are and then push forward. Because if you accept where you are, you will feel and have the space and grace to bloom. So that's how I define resilience, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we can also give ourselves permission to rewrite stories that we no longer want to attach ourselves to. You know, this, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Right, and rewriting it, and even physically rewriting it, taking a journal, yeah, writing down. That's what I do. I write, like, and you know that I love writing.
Oh, yeah,
and
love
I thank
writing.
You for,
yeah,
yeah, I yeah. love it. And then thanks for inviting me to CUF as well for that, because it helps helps to kind of dust off the day or the lifetimes of lessons that you've had. So writing's so important as well.
It is because we regurgitate so much stuff anyway. It's like, why don't we get it out? Just get it out. And write it. By the end of the day, you never know.
I know.
A whole book in 30 days. You know, like, just write.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, ooh, absolutely.
So when are you writing your book?
Right. When are we writing a book? I have a book written. I have 2-3 books written already. So yeah. But yeah, we have to get it out. We have to. I love that. This is such a great thing for us to do in our healing journey. And there's so many things that you can do on your healing journey, but writing is definitely one of those things, along with a lot of other things that you help women with. So let's talk about what you have to offer.
Sure. Thank you. I am a light worker and healer. So don't, make no mistake, I don't sit on top of a mountain and dictate what everybody should do. I have gone through the mud. I am a woman. I've gone through illness. I've gone through traumas, big traumas and little traumas. And so I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to create a space with you so that you can heal yourself. So I am basically your mirror. How do I do that? I do that through energy work, Reiki, EFT, miracle writing, which is stream of consciousness writing back and forth. I also look at other modalities such as tarot cards, all of these little bits and bytes of information that helps to inform one's journey. I can pull that in as well. I have a lot of practical tools for women who want to look after the physical body, because as you and I both know, if you feel good on the inside, the outside starts to shift too. So I do Visera scanning, which scans the eyes, and we find baseline foundational wellness plans for women in that way. Why is that important? Well, if you have a lot of stuff going on, a scan like that can help you to reset and start at a particular point. And then you can dive in to say, okay, I need to look after my adrenals. I need to look after my heart. I need to look after my muscles. And so a lot of that is practical. And so I do woo-woo, but then I do a lot of the practical stuff as well, which is really, really important to me. I also do career transition support as well. Women who are like shifting in their career, maybe they're shifting out of their career, which is what I've done as well. And they need support. They need someone to say, you know what? I know these are your goals. Let me help you. And so I'm there not to fix, just to be another soul who sees and who and what you are, and to see your potential and to walk you home.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where can they find all of these this information and contact you for your services?
Sure. You can contact me on LinkedIn. I'm there. I'm also at www.stillfirehealing.com. And then I'm also on Instagram at stillfirehealing888. So you can contact me there as well. Or you think, and I'll even contact you because you know me and I know you. So, yeah. So lots of ways to connect with me. And yeah, reach out anytime. I'm here to serve and help you.
Oh, thank you, Rajni. It was a joy to have you and to have this conversation today.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, for having me here today. Stay blessed.
Thank you, you too.